Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Now, would you please get up and speak to your neighbors, those sitting next to you in the pew, and those across the aisle? Now, I hate to interrupt your greetings of each other, but would you please return to your seats and let us prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation that is found on the inside page of your bulletin. Now, while you have your bulletins open, after having looked at that, turn over to the inside second page, please. I want you to look down at the bottom. There are three boxes that are really very important boxes. Because if you read it, you notice there's some changes. In fact, I highly recommend that you keep this bulletin with you so you don't forget that we are making some changes. Notice that we are going to have our traditional candlelight communion service on Christmas Eve. That will begin at 6 o'clock. And we will have no Sunday school and no early worship service next Sunday, the 26th. We will be meeting in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock for a casual combined worship service. Come and celebrate the Christmas that we have already experienced and will continue to experience the rest of the year, thanks to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, there's another thing that's interesting there. There is a church-wide drop-in. The staff is sponsoring it, but it's still an opportunity to come and not only tell the staff how much you appreciate them and eat some of the good food, but also an opportunity to visit with other members of the church family at the drop-in. So do mark that on your calendar as well. And you will turn over the other side, the back of your bulletin, and I want you to star the church office schedule because there will be some changes, some adjustments. So please notice the church office schedule. And then, of course, the Shell Doula's caroling. The Shell Doula class goes caroling, and there is an invitation for us all to join them and then have a meal afterwards after they've been caroling to the shut-ins. It's probably a really good idea also to keep your newsletter that you got this week. Because of the holidays, there won't be another newsletter, but there's one important piece of information in that newsletter. This is not to say everything in the newsletter is not important, but this one is a star. In the newsletter, you will notice there is a note from our financial secretary, Gail Carnes. Please make certain that all of your contributions are either in the office by Friday the 31st, or they have been postmarked by the 31st so that you can get those tax benefits from those wonderfully large contributions that you're going to be making to your church before the end of the year. Jim just says amen to that. And I think I'm getting an amen over in the corner from Bob Curitan too. So do please make certain that your contributions get in before the 31st so that Gail can give you credit for them. There's also a lot of information in the newsletter about things that will be cranking up for the new year. The flower calendar, volunteers to cook for the Hot Wednesday meals, all sorts of important information that will be taking place after the first of the year. So keep your newsletter. If you don't have one or you've put it down somewhere and can't find it, come by the office and see if Emmy can give you another copy, or at least she can email you a copy of the newsletter. Now, let us continue our worship service as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. In the darkest time of the year, in a world where hardship is real, as we prepare for the coming of the baby,
me in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. God, who brings new life into existence, we await the birth of hope in our lives. In our time of prayer and song and listening, open our hearts and minds to the promise of Christmas. Move within and among us during this hour, filling us with hope, reminding us to look forward to a new future, calling us to embrace the possibility of new life. We pray in the name of the baby who is coming. Amen.
In our affirmation of faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign of the Lord our God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land will, before whose two kings you are in dread, the lands will be deserted. This comes from the prophet Isaiah. We light again the first three candles. We remember our longing for God to be with us. To give us peace. The peace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. And the third candle, to let us rejoice with God as God rejoices with us. It's lighted, Bob. It's okay. The week is low. Okay, you got it. You got it. I think the week must be gone. Okay, let's let it go. It's lighted. And the thirst indicates our rejoicing with God.
Some of our prayer concerns today are for John Redford, who is recuperating from surgery, for the Bud Anvil family in his death, for Sally Seville, the Bill Nicholson family, and Mia Stora, who is home after being in a hospital. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Our gracious Lord, as we still ourselves in your presence this day, on this, the last Sunday of Advent that has brought to us a most glorious journey of faith, of love and joy and peace and hope, as we anticipate afresh the celebration of your birth, for the love that came down at Christmas and lived among us, that showed to us the way of salvation, the way to live, and also the way to die, to have hope for life eternal and a habitation made by God for all who believe in Him. So as we enjoy the beauty of this season, of the songs that have been sung, for the decorations that have been hung, we thank you again, dear God, for the preciousness of our faith, for the joy that it brings to our souls, the peace that passes understanding. And we pray for these who have lost loved ones at a time when we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. They celebrate their loved ones in your habitation. For those recuperating from sickness and surgeries, for those who are suffering spiritually, emotionally, for those who need to experience the healing strength that Christ brings, Lord, we pray for them. For those away from home, at a time when it is really difficult to be away from family and friends, we pray for them. We pray for your courage to be with troops wherever they may be serving, missionaries in faraway places. Dear God, we thank you again for the Church Universal, and to know that your message is being carried to all parts of the world. We pray, dear God, that you will continue to bless our land with freedom of worship, and those who are not ashamed to call you the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the babe born in Bethlehem. Bless us, O God, as we embrace this new year as a church, as we celebrate what has been done here this year, in affirming that we choose to follow Christ. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please? Let us pray. Holy God, for the privilege to give to your kingdom, we give you thanks. For each one who gave and those who chose not to give, we pray your blessings upon them, dear God, as we move forward as a church into this new year. Bless us, O God. Continue to watch over us and keep us. And to you we give glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning, boys and girls. I am so excited about today. Well, first of all, do y'all remember, raise your hand if you were at Parents' Night Out on Thursday night. So most of you. And you remember we sat right here on Thursday night and we talked about the nativity and we told the story of Jesus being born and how important it was. Y'all remember that? Yeah? Well, I'm so excited. I brought all of my presents from under the tree this morning, and they're all in this big bag right here, and some of them are for other people, but a lot of them are for me, and so I just wanted to come and show you. So let's take a look. Okay, we've got this one. I wonder what it is. What do y'all think it is? You don't know? Okay, so we've got that one. Here's a big box. Here's another big box. Oh, I can't even get this one out. It's so big. Oh, we've got that box. Let's see. This one and this one and this one. That's a little one. We've got this one and that one. Can y'all see all these presents? I'm so excited. Oh my goodness. And that one, do y'all see all of these presents? I'm so excited for Christmas. Let's see, I've got some more in here. That one, I'm almost to the bottom. Let's see. This one, and then there's two more little ones in here. Do y'all see all these presents? What do you think can be in them? Are y'all excited about getting presents? Wait a second, though. Y'all see something wrong? Do you see anything wrong? What's wrong? There are tags on some of them. But do y'all notice anything else? No? I can't see baby Jesus anymore. Do y'all see baby Jesus? No? Oh my gosh. So what happened? I covered it up with all of the presents. So what's wrong with that? I'm all excited about Christmas and the presents I'm going to get and the presents I'm going to give. But what's wrong with that? Yeah. Right. I'm forgetting what Christmas is all about. It's not about all these presents that I'm going to get on Saturday, right? But it's about kind of putting all these presents aside and uncovering what is really important about this week. I know we're all excited about all the presents that we're going to get, but don't forget why we have Christmas, why we get presents, because do you know what the greatest gift of all is? It's Jesus. Yeah, you're right. So don't forget about Jesus whenever you're opening all of your presents. And remember about the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the greatest gift of all. And thank you for Christmas. And help us see past all of the presents that we are going to get. We love you. Amen.
Thank you.
gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 18th verse of the first chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. When we think about the stories of Christmas and the majesties that have been taking place and the miracles of this story, one of the individuals that we hear quite often is Joseph. And yet, he doesn't have a real speaking role, as we would say. Whenever we have the reenactment of our children, Joseph is the one that is there, usually with a beard. He's much older most of the time than Mary. Maybe falling along behind. He really doesn't get much attention until this morning. I titled my sermon, "Joseph's Song." Last week we talked about Mary's song, so this is Joseph's time. As I look at this passage of Scripture and think about all those experiences that have taken place during this Advent season, the shepherds, the angels, even the little drummer boy gets more attention than Joseph. I can remember a family member who had a girlfriend that lived across the street from our house. And there, during the day, on numerous occasions, that black and white 57 Chevrolet would come riding down the street. Didn't stop, just rode by. On occasion, he'd blow his horn. Found out he was in love. He was in love with the girl across the street. That's why he kept coming by my house 4 or 5 times a day. I'm sure he told his mom he was going to pick up a loaf of bread or some milk at the store, and the store is nowhere near our house. But he always find reason to drive by. Then one day, he stopped. Discovered that the young lady was expecting. And the child wasn't his. I remember seeing the heartbreak in his face as both of them struggled with what had happened. Here is the same story in Scripture. Joseph, engaged to a young lady who is going to have a baby, and the baby is not his. I don't know if in your lifetime you have experienced such pain. It does require some heart searching. What are we going to do? Even to this day, when the family gets together and something happens to be mentioned of this relationship, I can still see the pain in the face of my family member. Joseph was faced with such a decision. He was going to make the choice that probably most of us would make. But he wasn't going to make a public display of it because, you see, she could have been stoned. He chooses rather to put her away quietly, as the Bible says, for whatever that means. I can imagine the struggles that take place within Joseph's heart and mind. And then we have another Christmas miracle. A dream. An angel speaks to Joseph, and my suspicions are that within Joseph's heart, he is saying, "Hallelujah! That's what I wanted to do anyway. I didn't really want to put her away. I really wanted to keep her." And he chooses to love her, to embrace her, to introduce her to his family. Now, I can remember with my family and my mom and dad, and when I would bring a girlfriend home, they would always know it was kind of serious. I can remember Dad saying one time when I brought one young lady home, "Well, you the first one he's ever brought home," because she was wondering whether I was really committed to her or not. So when you take one home, it's serious. So when you talk about taking her home, we're talking about Bethlehem. Joseph gave her his name, the lineage of David. As I was reading one minister, Ken Bailey, and he writes and he says, it's like when you are going home to your grandmother's house, and I know for myself that when we would all come there as a family, there were not enough beds for us all. And we made pallets. Now, I don't know if kids still sleep on the floor in pallets or not. But we did. And we would spread them out there on the floor in the living room and spread across and grab pillows. And we would have the best time laughing and talking and sharing. And they say that's sort of what was happening with Joseph. That he really went to a family home, but it was full. You know the story. But he says that as we think in a Jewish mentality rather than an American mentality, that really in those days when it was cold and the animals were so valuable, on cold, cold nights you would bring them into the house. And the family would sort of sleep up above the animals. And the animals would be on the dirt floor down here with the manger and the other things. And so there was no room. When Joseph took Mary to the family, And there, where they made their bed, the ladies of the house took this young mother. And don't you know, they were speculating. Let's see. Now, they got married in June, and this is December. It's not quite 9 months. But the Bible says she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. I want you to just think for a moment. Last evening, we had the privilege to be with the choir, and there was Noah, and we were cuddling and cooing and kissing on him. And I imagine these ladies, as they took this precious child and hugged it in swaddling clothes. Can't you feel that love? That swaddling of a baby. I mean, it's a wonderful time of year to enjoy new babies and to cuddle them. And I can just experience this family as it loves this child. I realize this bends the story of Joseph just a little bit. But the Bible does say he was a righteous man, a good man. As a young boy, I was always struggling, wrestling with the call to the ministry. Someone asked me one time, "When did you first know you were called?" And I said, "I've known it all my life. I cannot, as a young boy, remember a day in my life when I didn't feel like that I was supposed to be a minister." And so in our youth group at church, I was talking with my best friend, and we were talking about our involvement with the church. As we grew into adults, what was going to be our role? And I talked with him and I said, "You know, I feel this strong desire, this calling to be a minister." He says, "Well, I certainly don't feel like I'm called to be a minister. But I feel like I have what is called a ministry of helps." My friend to this day has been involved in different churches, and each one of them, he has been someone that would come in and help to paint or to build or to sing or to direct the choir. All of us are not called into the same ministry, but we're all called. In the story of Christmas and Advent, as we think about all these individuals, the shepherds, the wise men, those who came from afar, the family, Joseph and Mary and the infant, we think about the role that Joseph played. I submit to you that here was a man who was called by God to participate in this wondrous story that took him outside of his normal human comfort and challenged him to embrace God's Son in a ministry of helps. How is it that God is speaking to you during this season? And what is it that God calls you to do? And may we all respond as Joseph did and fulfill God's wish. Amen. Number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Responsive benediction printed in your bulletin. Follow along with me, please. The old story has been told. The carols have been sung. But now we can go with a song of hope ringing in our heart. And as we go, we do not go alone. And may God, made known in a tiny baby in a stable, go with us through all the seasons of our lives. Amen.